Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome. Well, my first guest today says that it's a myth that liars don't make eye contact. It's a myth. She says you need to work your naughty bits and that you're 30% more likely to solve a problem with your arms crossed. Janine Driver is a body language expert, and she says she'll tell us how to get what we want in the boardroom, the barroom, or the bedroom. And coming up around 12:30, we'll look at how we can get motivated and stay inspired to achieve our big dream, even when life seems to work against us. But first, I'd like to welcome Janine Driver. She's the founder and president of the Body Language Institute, located in Virginia. She spent over a decade at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and trained thousands of law enforcement officers to decipher fact from fiction using the method she writes about in her best-selling book, You Say More Than You Think. She's appeared on The Today Show, Good Morning America, The Rachel Ray Show, and Larry King Live, and is a regular contributor to Cosmopolitan magazine. And now Janine travels the globe speaking to clients about the fastest way to save time and grow business. And her many clients include AOL, Hard Rock, Wyndham Hotels, and Coca-Cola. Janine Driver, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. What a pleasure.
Well, I found this book so fascinating, Janine. I was telling Eric before the show that it really is a good book. I think it's the best book I've seen on body language. And before we get to the book, I want to just talk a little more about your background. You haven't always spent your days advising people on how to better become better business leaders or how to score hot dates. Your career your career began with the ATF. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would. What drove you into the ATF?
You know, no one heard of ATF back in the day because, and still internationally, some people haven't heard of ATF, but ATF is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. My dad said I turned my hobbies into a career. that Boston sense of humor, I've got to tell you. But they came to my college and were interviewing back in 1992. I thought, quite frankly, I was getting a job with the FBI, but at the time, ATF, the forefathers of ATF are Elliot Ness, and Elliot Ness were the whole alcohol and the tax evasion with alcohol way back in the day, and he was essentially the very first ATF agent. And so when I actually came on board, I realized that ATF was part of the Treasury at the time. Today it is part of Justice Department after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I took a course in about 1994-95. On how to tell if people are lying. ATF put us through this two-week boot camp on detecting deception, and I just fell in love with the techniques. Ended up, I was what they consider a natural. I was good at sizing people up and using body language personally to get what I want, and used that for 16 years with the Bureau, and then retired and decided, you know what, I want to go save lives in a different way. I want to save people's lives by helping them keep or get that job that they want, mm-hmm. or make sure that you don't come home and your gay teenage son has a heroin needle in his arm and he's dead in a closet because he was unable to communicate or you were unable to read the signs. So it literally is from the boardroom to the barroom to the bedroom to all aspects of our life. I help a lot of families that have kids with autism or Asperger's, that the people affected by Asperger's and autism aren't great at reading body language. They aren't good at using it, and they aren't
that's
great
true.
At reading it.
Yeah, that's true.
So from business to family lives, and I just go out. I do all those television shows. I was just on the Dr. Oz show that'll air in the next 2 weeks, the Nate Berkus show here. He's a designer. I'm going back on the Today Show March 31st. And I don't get paid for those shows. I go on those shows to literally change and save people's lives. To make sure, you know, before your husband actually has the affair. How do you stop it before it's too late? How do you stop it at flirty texts and inappropriate lunches before the damage is irreversible? Mm. And ATF, I climbed the ladder. I won a lot of awards with ATF. I was very hardworking and passionate and ended up training the CIA and the FBI and Scotland Yard Police. And, you know, this book and my techniques that I talk about at the Body Language Institute are really behind-the-closed-door secrets from three-letter government agencies.
And what I loved about this book is that you actually break a lot of the myths that are out there that we think we've been told time and time again. And I want to look at some of those, if we can look at some of those.
Absolutely.
And the first one I want to look at is what I said up front, that you say it's a myth that liars don't make eye contact.
Right. Well, it's very interesting because I do this in my class. I say, okay, how many people think liars give an increase in eye contact? How many people think liars give a decrease? And you'll get about 50-50. And then I'll say, who didn't raise their hand? And I'll ask them why. And oftentimes they'll just say, I didn't know. Well, those people are actually right, because the bottom line is you have to get a baseline. You know, for me in law enforcement, I can't say to the judge, yep, Michael molested his, you know, cousin, or he's selling drugs into the high school because he scratched his nose when I asked him, or he crossed his arms when I asked him, or he gave me an increase or decrease in eye contact. It's not that simple. You have to get what's called a baseline. If you are confronting your husband if he's cheated, and he normally gives you about 60% eye contact, now he goes to 100%, well, that's what we call convince rather than convey.
Okay.
Truthful people convey information. Liars try to convince us of something. Or if he goes normally from 60 and drops to 40, then maybe he is having an increase in stress, so he's avoiding eye contact. You're looking for a change in behavior.
So we always really have to know something about the person. We have to get that baseline established, first of all, before we can do an accurate reading on this then.
Right. 3 minutes is all you need to get a baseline.
Mm. This other one, I'm so glad you debunked this, because I actually debunked this myself, because I do this a lot myself. And that's look up to the right. And I've heard FBI profilers say when people look up to the right when they're reciting something, it's because they're making it up. And, you know, and I know that's not true from when I've done it myself. You say that is false. So talk to us about that, if you would.
So it's a perpetuating myth out there, and it's up to their upper right. So my eyes went to my upper right. Because oftentimes people will actually say the opposite, which is upper left, which is just, it's even the wrong myth. Like, that myth doesn't even exist. So if someone looks to their upper right, they're creating an answer. Well, the reason why you can't use that is detecting deception. This is part of what's called neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro is the brain, linguistic is language, programming is our map of the world. And so this neuro-linguistic programming, or what they like to call NLP, there's definitely value in NLP, tons of it, to stop you from bad habits, to help cure a phobia. But to use eye movement to detect deception is just inaccurate, and this is why. If, in fact, a typical right-handed person does actually look upper right to create an answer, and I say to you, describe your mother's face to me, and your eyes go upper right, well, are you lying? Because you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe you're picturing your mother's face floating in air because I simply said, describe your mother's face to me. And so your mind interpreted my question. Okay, she just wants to know about my mom's face. Your mind is picturing your mother's face floating in air, which is something you've never seen before. So therefore, your eyes are going upper right to create. So you need to be very cautious on using eye movements to detect deception. It's simply, it's not valuable enough.
Oh, interesting. That is interesting, because I've heard FBI profilers go on TV time after time and say the same thing.
It's interesting, because I'll be interviewed on ESPN when Tiger Woods came out with his confession, and it was incongruent. His body language and tone and pitch of voice and his facial expressions weren't congruent with the great words he was using. It was a well-written speech. And I remember being interviewed during that time on ESPN, and they go, well, we had an FBI profiler named blah, 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 on a half hour ago, and he said this. And I go, well, that guy's wrong. He's being a mind reader or a psychic. You know, I'm not a mind reader and a psychic.
Yeah.
That's why my book is called The New Body Language. I'm teaching you the skills you need to read people accurately and to use body language to get what you want.
Right.
And so it's funny when I hear FBI guys say that, you know what? They're wrong.
Right. Right. And I remember from reading your book, you said that when you were 21 and you went into all these gun raids, confidence was your weapon. And that's what you still have, that great confidence. And that's great to hear. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Janine Driver. Her new book is called You Say More Than You Think. It's a 7-day plan for using the new body language to get what you want. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at joycechapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email joyce at joycechapman.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and we're talking today about the new body language. Janine Driver says, forget much of what you knew, thought you knew about body language. We're looking at the new language here, and her new book is called You Say More Than You Think. It's a New York Times bestseller, and this is really is one of the best books I've read on body language. Very enlightening. Made me look at myself, because Janine and I had somebody film me when I was doing a workshop a little while ago. Oh my gosh. I'm like, why do I do that? All these stupid mannerisms you don't even know you have.
I know. It's so funny. It's so funny when you see yourself. You don't know. Like in my book, I start off by saying, if a mirror drops in front of you in their last meeting or negotiation or conversation, would the outside be matching how you're feeling on the inside? You know, recent research shows this. How our minds work is first intent. It's all about intention. After intention comes your body language. Comes body language. After body language comes thought. And then after thought comes words. So if you think about it, if you're thinking, uh-oh, I hope my body language doesn't appear nervous, it's already too late. Because body language happens before the thought. So you really need to think about intention. At the Body Language Institute, I literally have this 2.5-day class, and half of it is improv on getting people out of their heads, stop overthinking. And that's one of the aspects of my book is I give all these exercises to get people really understanding how it feels on the inside to be confident, because the outside will then follow suit.
Yeah. Now, I thought this was really interesting. You talk about an experiment where you took people, I think they were being interviewed for a job, and you took some novice interviewers and some experienced interviewers who knew what language to look for. But in the first 30 seconds, they both, whether they were novice or experienced interviewers, saw the same kind of thing in the people who were being interviewed. So that first 30 seconds that we're told you only have 30 seconds to make a first impression, that's really true, really holds true, doesn't it?
Even beyond that, quite frankly, you know, Malcolm Gladwell talks about in his great New York Times bestselling book, Blink, about split second. You know, you literally, you know, in less than a second in some cases. Hiring managers and recruiters, they make their decision in 7 seconds.
Yeah.
In 7 seconds, they decide if you're the person for the job or not. They're going to either help you through the job or through the job interview, or they're going to help you out the door. You have 7 seconds. So literally how you shake hands, how you're holding yourself, where you're putting your chin, you know, hiding your thumbs. If you put your hands in your pockets and you hide your thumbs, what do newborn babies do? They suck their thumbs. They put their thumbs inside their fists. Anytime you're hiding your thumbs, it comes across as what I call a perceived value, that you need reassurance.
Oh, interesting.
This is where I'm really different than other body language experts, because I say, you know what? If I could write a book on body language, I would say body language means nothing. It doesn't matter what it means. It matters for you how it's perceived. I say, what is your perceived value? In the book, I show a picture of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And I talk about why they have such extraordinarily different perceived values. And when Bill shakes someone's hand, he shakes their hand, his belly button is facing towards the person. I call this the belly button rule. We face our belly button towards people we like, admire, and trust. Because if you think about it, our belly button was our first connection to another human being, our birth
mm-hmm.
mother.
Mm-hmm.
So when you shake hands, a lot of us make a mistake, like Hillary Clinton will reach out her hand to the side as she's walking by. I call these drive-by handshakes, Vicky. You know, hi, nice to meet you. high, and she'll shake with her right hand and left hand. It's not about quantity. It is about quality.
Yes.
You're much better to slow down, say hello to three people, step belly button facing them. When you go to the next person, keep extended eye contact as if you hate to let them go. And another big mistake we make when we meet people is we compliment them. Vicky, I love your beautiful blue shirt. You could say, this shirt? I hate this shirt. My ex-husband gave me this shirt. He was such a loser. I just happened to have it in my car this morning. I was running in, realized it was cold, so I threw on this little shirt. If you compliment someone, their tie, their shoes, their earrings, their glasses, you have to tell them why you like what you like. And think about that intent. Really go deep. I love that shirt. It makes your eyes pop. I love that tie. I can tell you're a man that pays attention to details. Wow, shiny shoes. My mother always said you can trust a man with shiny shoes. They'll get the job done right the first time. When you compliment someone, tell them why you like what you like.
Yeah, it doesn't sound such an empty compliment then, does it, either?
Right, and it's all that combination of that powerful handshake. You know, if you take someone's hand and you basically make their palm go face up, that's what's called the beggar's pose. Like a beggar would say, a dollar, please, a dollar, please.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm making your hand go face up, that means my hand is down. That's what Hitler did, that palm down gesture. This means, Vicky, I'm trying to dominate you. I'm letting you know I'm the boss. A quick fix here is simply you could give me what's called a hand hug. You could take your other hand, your left hand, and just simply cup it over my hand as if you're hugging it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Janine, it's so nice to meet you, because now what you've said is I'm powerful too. Or you could just simply stroke the person's ego. Someone's dominating you with that bone crusher handshake or that palm down handshake. You just simply say, you know what, Vicky, everyone says the same thing about you. You are a woman of power. You are a smart, decisive, powerful woman. And what a pleasure it is to meet you today. Stroke that ego, because this is someone who likes to call the shot.
Right. So if we're going in for a job interview, we obviously don't want to come off as this dominant. We want to seem powerful, but not too powerful. So we want to avoid that handshake where we have our hand on top.
Right. If anything, you could actually twist their hand slightly so they're... You go in a passive handshake, letting them have the upper hand, because they're going to already feel, you're going to make them feel more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest mistake we make on a job interview, and almost 100% of people do it, unless they're the person walking out with the actual job, because they know this trick. And it's simply take the chair, after you shake the hand of the person, take your chair, move it 30% off center. Move it about a foot and a half to the side. Because when your chair is directly opposite on a first date, on a job interview, anytime you're talking to someone where you want something, you want the job, you want the truth, you want the guy or the girl, simply sit 30% off center. What will happen there is you give them a visual way out that decreases their stress. If you think about it, I'm from law enforcement. Well, how do cops confront bad guys? When we're in an interrogation room, we're sitting directly opposite them.
Right.
Vicky, where were you yesterday? 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Right.
Wipe that smile off your face. Well, because there's a table there or a desk there, we forget that we're still directly in front of that person. That's confrontational. Move 30% off center. You'll automatically be seen as someone who has no trouble taking charge because you slightly moved the chair. Make sure you put it back when you're done. And you're being seen as someone who's likable and can build rapport very quickly.
Mm. So you talked about the belly button rule, keep our belly button facing the person. We talked about the hands. What you also talk about keeping the throat open and working on naughty bits. Talk about that, if you would.
That's from the Holy Grail. So we have three power zones, our neck dimple, our belly button, and what I call the naughty bits. I used to call it the groin. And then I was on the Today Show with Al Roker, and this guy named Ted, who was on a television show here called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he said to me, what are you going to talk about? I go, your three power zones, neck dimple, this is the little teeny notch in your throat. We keep that open when we're confident and when we're willing to be vulnerable. Diane Keaton, if you think about that famous actress Diane Keaton, she'll often wear scarves or turtlenecks. Why? Because she wants to keep you at a distance. When you keep that neck dimple open, you're saying, I have nothing to hide, I'm vulnerable, I want you to come closer. It will increase rapport. Then I said the belly button, which we've already spoken about. We face our belly button towards people we like, admire, and trust. And then last but not least, do these naughty bits. And so this guy, Ted, I said, in the groin. And Ted said to me in the green room at the Today Show, Janine, please don't talk about Al Roker's groin on today's show. He said, call it the naughty bits. That's what they called it in the Holy Grail. And now that's my little term. I call them the bits. I say, keep those bits open, ladies. If you keep all three zones open, you're seen as confident. You're seen as someone who knows what they're doing and knows what they're talking about. Mm. And make sure on a job interview, both feet flat on the ground, whether you're a man or a woman, because it says, I've got my feet on the ground.
Good. Interesting. So the naughty bits, just to go back to that for a second, means don't cover with your hands, which is something that I've heard some media trainers tell people to do, is if when they're nervous, put their hands, you know, just kind of loosely fold them and put them in front of their body. But we don't want to do that.
You want to avoid it. And so, again, see, this is why speech coaches say that, because they're trying to work on the body language, because the person's thinking, uh-oh, I'm nervous. You have to go back to intent. Forget about folding your hands, because that's the opposite. You're going to come across, this is, folded hands is how people sit on The Apprentice just before they're fired by Donald Trump. You know, folded hands is what my son does when I come home with sugared cereal on grocery shopping day. Please, can I have sugar corn pops? That is the beggar's pose. It lacks confidence, and it lacks power. Instead, let's focus on your intent. No coat across your bits, no laptop, no briefcase, you know, relax. The most important thing is, if you want to get stress out, do it where they can't see it. Do what I call toe push-ups. Inside your shoes, do 10 toe push-ups. One, and squeeze your toes. Ready? And one, and two, and three. You do 10 of them, you're getting that stress and anxiety out. The interviewer, the date, the person you're trying to influence, the salesman, or the person, the client, they don't see it. You're coming across as confident, keeping those three zones open, the neck, dimple, belly button, and bits. And think about your intent. Think ridiculous amounts of power, ridiculous amounts of love, joy, serenity, abundance, success. You know, if you just focus on the intention of being something ridiculously awesome, I love the word ridiculous, everything else will follow suit. And if you need it, then do the toe push-up.
Very good. Now, I said at the beginning of the show that research shows that we're 30% more likely to solve a problem with our arms crossed. Do we know why? Just curious on that.
Yes, because you're using both sides of your brain when you cross your arm, because we know the left side of our brain controls the right side of our body and vice versa. The right side controls our left side. So if you're winking with your right eye, that's actually your left brain that made that happen. And if you're winking with your left eye, that's your right brain that's making that happen.
Interesting.
Kids with autism are often told to give themselves a hug. So kids with autism, if they are getting in a state that's highly emotional, or they're getting either hyper or the opposite, they'll be told, give yourself a hug, give yourself a great big hug. And so this is a big myth that when you cross your arms, you're bored and disinterested and want to be someplace else. Do people who are bored and disinterested and want to be someplace else, do they cross their arms? Yes. But not everyone who does it is bored and disinterested. You could be cold, and you are 30% more likely, research has shown, study after study, to solve a difficult task. You're thinking about your budget. You're thinking about hiring decisions. Anything that requires both your right brain, which is creativity and the big picture, and your left brain, which is logic and the trees, not the forest. If you need to see everything, simply cross your arms, you'll come up with the solution.
Oh, that's so interesting. You talk as well in the book that most of us have a right side and a good side and a bad side. And when we want to really connect with somebody, we want to make sure we're on our good side and their good side. Could you talk about that for a little for us?
Boy, you dive right in here, girl. That's my heavy hitting. That's the heavy hitting artillery there in the back of the book. Yes, this is an advanced move. It's called the new right side rule. And in the old days, what would happen is we would say in sales or negotiation or persuasion, when you shake someone's hand, you're shaking their right hand. Therefore, anytime you want to win them over, make sure you're standing on the right side of their body, because you've created a positive anchor, an anchor just like an anchor in a boat. You're physically touching someone, shaking their hand and saying, hi, Vicky, nice to meet you. So when you would want to influence them, you'd get on the right side. Bottom line, that's wrong. It's 50-50. 50% of people like people on our right side, and 50% of people like people on their left side. How do you find that out? First of all, pay attention. What side of the bed do you sleep on? When you go to the movies, do you put your husband and your child to your right or to your left? I know if my husband's on my left, I feel suffocated at a movie theater.
Oh,
my preference is to my right. how do you set up your office, whether it's at home or in a building, a work building? Do you like people when you're in the kitchen and your husband comes in to offer help to cook, and he comes to your right side? Do you get anxious and say, "Get out of the kitchen! Too many cooks in the kitchen. Boil the broth." But if he comes to your left and touches your shoulder, are you okay to have him there? Once you know what your preference is, in 50-50, some people like, and it has nothing to do with right-handed or left-handed, then you can realize, wait a minute, let's watch others. And once you watch others, stand on both their sides. Test it. Do they close up? Do they put their hands in their pockets when you stand off to their right side? Do they open up and put their hands on their hips when you stand to the left side? Does the chin come down? Do they do deep swallows? Do they get nervous and kind of giggle when you're on one side? That would indicate if they're giggling and nervous, that's their bad side. When it comes to influencing others, you want to make sure you're on their correct side. And sometimes the right side is on the left. That's why it's the new right side rule. You have to figure out what you like first, and then you can determine what someone else prefers. Quite frankly, if you're in sales or in business, make sure on all your folders or portfolios for your clients, you're putting an L or an R with a circle. So you know when, bam, I'm going in to meet my client. One of my clients is Procter & Gamble. I'm going in to meet the CEO or CFO. I look at my form, and it says my folder, R. I know I want to make sure I sit to the right of that person so I can get the best results possible.
Fascinating stuff. Really fascinating. This is such a great book. I mean, as you say, it's for anyone who wants to get what they want in the bedroom, the barroom, or the boardroom. Janine Driver, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
You know, I would love for them to get my book. It's only $8.50 on Amazon.com. And if they do, what I'll give them is a free gift. It's a body language swag bag, and it's a $600 value, and I email it right out to them. They can just simply go to my website, which is JanineDriver.com, send me an email, Janine@BodyLanguageInstitute.com, or visit my website, and I'll email you the body language swag bag. It's a bunch of articles on microexpressions and how to tell if people are lying. It's all the information that couldn't fit in the book that I'm saving for my second book. I've put together in a nice email document that I'll send your way. And last but not least, I want to just acknowledge and thank you for doing what you do and changing people's lives, Vicki. You're extraordinary.
Thank you. And you are too. And this book is extraordinary. The best thing that I've read on body language. There's also some great videos up on Janine's site. And you spell her name Janine. JanineDriver.com is where you can find out more information. Thanks for being with us. Please do stay with us. We're going to be joined by Joyce Chapman when we come back. We're going to talk about motivation. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, is the child-free movement the latest green trend? Lisa Hymas, senior editor and co-founder of Grist.org, discusses the child-free choice. Join us next Wednesday at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See more at conversationslive.net.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we're moving from body language to motivation in this segment. Do you have it? Do you lack it? Do you want more of it? It's true that we get nothing done without it. And I've certainly been struggling on some levels with one of my projects regarding motivation. So I'm looking forward to today's show. We're talking, of course, with Joyce Chapman, Dream Coach. She's devoted her life to empowering others, first as a teacher for the California public school system, later as director and developer of an innovative private school in San Diego, California, and for the past 20 years as a consultant, speaker, counselor, coach and author. And she's the author of Live Your Dream, Celebrate Your Dream, Journaling for Joy, and more. Joyce Chapman, welcome to the show.
Hi.
And I've asked Eric to join us today, Joyce. You don't know this, but I've asked Eric to tune in with us today. So, Eric, welcome to this segment too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we thought
that's very motivating to hear.
We thought since we were talking about motivation, we'd get some different input and find out what other people struggle with. I've been asking around. I know you have too, Joyce, and Eric's probably, I hope, put his thinking cap on to see what he struggles with. But I want to talk, first of all, about motivation and what it means. And if you look it up in the dictionary, it stems from the word motive, which is something as a need or desire that causes a person to act. If you look at Middle English, Anglo-French, Latin, all of those interpretations describe the word motivation as to move. So obviously, if we're not moving, if we're not acting, if we're not moving forward, we're not motivated, I guess. But tell us your version, your definition of motivation, Joyce, for the purposes of today's show.
Well, first I have to say that I also looked up the word in the dictionary. So I'm very motivated to hear that we're on the same page, Vicky.
I feel left out because I totally didn't look it up. I'm just winging it, going with the definition that I have in my mind. So,
well, tell us the definition in your mind, Eric.
I think it means, like, if you're having trouble doing something and then you're trying to get motivated, you're trying to put that energy towards actually accomplishing your goal.
Yeah, I think that works for me. And I read this on somebody's website, and unfortunately I lost the page, so I can't give him credit for it. But he described motivation as neither as a physiological or psychological thing, but the energy that's underneath the drive to desire and work. And I could relate to that because for me, it's very much an energy thing. Mm. And I notice when I'm low energy, I have very little motivation.
Amen.
So, yeah. Joyce, I want to talk about two different kinds of motivation. You share in your book, Live Your Dream, Discover and Achieve Your Life Purpose. You talk about staying motivated, taking charge now. You talk about two different learning approaches that you learned as a teacher. And basically, motivation follows on from one of those two learning styles. I wonder if you'd share those with us.
Well, it did come from my teaching, and I think that's one of the reasons that when I went into coaching and counseling, it was so exciting to remember that I had watched children for years, you know, being either inner-directed motivation or outer-directed motivation, because, you know, there were kids that just immediately would come in the classroom and know what they wanted to do, and then there were the children that just sat there and waited to see what you wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, to me, and you can probably hear right now today, it just was so interesting to me that because I had always been, and I know this about myself, very inner-directed. You know, the passion is there. It always was. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. Curiosity is one of the top things that you would see about me. So it's like, okay, there are different kinds of kids here. There are different kinds of human beings. And so what can I do to, you know, motivate them? What can I do to inspire them? And all those good things.
Right.
Activate that.
Right. And that the same can be said, you know, we go from school to work. You know, I certainly work and have managed employees and work with colleagues who are intrinsically driven or externally driven. Mm-hmm. And there's a very significant difference there. And I think a lot of people are unhappy at work because they are looking for somebody else to come along and create that motivation. So we're going to talk about today how we motivate ourselves. And I'm going to ask Eric in a minute to share with us what he struggles with. I know you have a couple of questions that you've received from listeners, Joyce, too. But I was talking with my assistant and I said to her, she's an author. She's also an actress. She's been in several films. I think the most recent one was the one with Jennifer Aniston that was filmed up here in Seattle. So she has a very interesting lifestyle. She's actually retired and she's doing all of this in her retirement. And I said to her, do you ever struggle with motivation, with accomplishing what you want to do? And she said, no. And we talked some more because I thought that was kind of extraordinary for her to say that. But then I realized, we both realized that she's retired and she really doesn't do what she doesn't want to do anymore. So, but for the rest of us who aren't that way, maybe I can ask Eric to jump in here and share something that you struggle with on a motivational basis.
I struggle with a lot of things on a motivational basis.
Oh, good, he's human.
Yeah. I find when I have a lot of things to do, I have a hard time picking the right order to go in. If I've got like a laundry list of stuff, I find sometimes that's kind of just overwhelming. And I could just go tick, tick, tick and tick these things off. But sometimes I think, well, am I doing this in the right? Do I got the right priority for these things? And sometimes that can be kind of demotivating. And
does it ever demotivate you to the point that you just procrastinate totally?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
Because that's something I've seen with a lot of other people. I've experienced it myself, too. I'm not excusing myself out of that.
You know, there's things that I know that when I do them, they're going to be not that difficult. Things that I can accomplish, but stuff I don't like to do. And I'll go and do stuff that I know that I hate slightly less, even though I know that, well, that doesn't need to be done until later. I'll just tick off the things that I do kind of in the order of least amount of hate, I guess.
Ah, the so, pain pleasure principle.
There you go. Yeah. So
instant gratification there too, a little.
I have to add that to my idea list.
So, Joyce, when you're working...
Things I least hate.
Things I least hate. There you go. So when you're working with somebody as a coach and you run into this kind of situation, what kind of advice do you give them? Where do you start?
Well, one of the things, and to speak a little bit to what Eric said too, is like one of the things that I have learned over the years and as a dream coach is that by identifying the dream that you want to realize, a lot of other things kind of fall into place. That might sound simplistic, but it's true. And it's about focus. You know, if you know you want to write a book, of course, this is such a simple example, then you've got to, you know, schedule your life around writing that book. And if you keep putting it off, you're going to beat yourself up. And I'm absolutely against beating yourself up. So it's like, okay, it's the simple question once again, what do I want to do?
Mm. Now, going back to Eric's question, since he has so many things he's got on his list here, what I'm assuming we're going to start with a prioritization list there.
Sure. That's a good place to start. And as I said, the best place to start, because of course that's what I do, is like, what is your dream?
Mm.
And it's very freeing for people. And Vicki, you know this about me, but, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to edit you. Just really say, you know, out loud, claim what it is you really want to accomplish this lifetime. So it's like, get out of any, the refrigerator will have to be cleaned, you know,
right,
that kind of thing. The trash will have to be dumped. But what else is there for you?
Well, often when it comes to working on my dream or things that I really
do you want to share that with us? You don't have to, because I'm putting you on the spot here.
Well,
I'm nice.
I think we've talked on the show before about how I enjoy doing music. And so when it comes to working on stuff around my dream, which in this case, for the purpose of this discussion, would be promoting the music that I do and moving forward with my music. I don't have a problem working on that. I'd spend hours and hours, you know, if people let me, working on that. But there's all this other stuff that I have to take care of in life. And that, I think, kind of eats away at that time when I could be working on the music. But I have, of course, I have to do a job, and I have a house and pets and people to take care of and stuff. And so, you know, that's where I need the motivation, I think, mm-hmm. in life, is dealing with all the stuff that...
The rest of the stuff,
rather than the dream stuff. So how do you motivate yourself to do the stuff you don't want to do?
It's such an easy answer, and it's so hard to do, and that is get a schedule.
Mm.
And I know that you probably have one, but also look at that schedule and see what you really do every day, every minute, every hour. Now, this may not fit you at all, Eric, but mm-hmm. it fits for a lot of people, because there's usually a lot of laughter when I talk with an individual person or in a workshop. It's like, oh, yeah, I did watch TV for 3 hours last night. You know, that kind of thing. Well, yeah, I should have done that, but I did this. So it's like, okay, don't beat yourself up. There's no right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really do want to live that dream, if you really do want to accomplish what you say you want to accomplish, then you are going to have to schedule it in.
Hmm. And make choices. That's one thing that I've recognized over the last year working with Joyce, is that, you know, we have to choose where we spend our time. And quite honestly, my garden looks a real mess right now because I'm choosing not to spend my time there, but to spend it on other things that hopefully are moving me forward and closer to the big goal that I have.
Neighbors be darned. That's what I say.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to come around and say, you know, you really should have trimmed back your rose bushes. And
right.
I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but they're standing in the way of my dream right now.
I'm going to use that line next time.
That is great. Did you write that one down, Eric?
Yes.
All right, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Joyce Chapman and Eric Ryder here in the studio with me about motivation. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicky St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicky asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Good news, Belgium. We're streamed worldwide at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Wow. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're old tigers in here today, and you're old tigers out there, too.
It's the ultimate motivational song. You got to have the eye of the tiger.
That was very, very motivational.
That's
got
right.
My shoulder shake.
We're talking in this segment with Joyce Chapman, dream coach Joyce Chapman. You can find her at joycechapman.com. And we're talking about motivation. And Eric Ryder, our wonderful producer here, is joining us in the studio talking with us, too. And I wanted to just go back to your book for a second, Joyce, Live Your Dream Book. And you say in there, other directed motivation, we talked about, you know, it comes intrinsically or extrinsically, internally or externally. Other directed motivation is based on the need to be right, to gain approval, reward or recognition from someone else, or the fear of punishment or of commitment. Inner directed motivation is based on a love for self and others. I wonder if you'd talk a little about the two differences there a little more.
There's a big difference because, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but it's like when it comes from within, it's more natural. And when it has to come from, okay, you told me I did a good job, Vicki, that feels great. But when I know I did a good job, that feels even greater. So it's like that, just that subtle shift that happens. You've done something that satisfies you. You've done something that has made somebody else satisfied or inspired. I love the word inspired almost better than the word motivate, because it's like, okay, because that for me means it's coming from within. I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. There's no right or wrong. It's just like what will bring you to realize what you say you want to have.
Right. I think you have to be inspired to be really motivated. But what I've noticed myself, and others may find this too, is that if I start taking action, even if I'm really grumpy about it, and I don't want to do it, if I start taking action, I become inspired, which leads to more motivation.
Yeah. It's very, you know, there is a rule, like if you feel depressed, then do something. You know, it sounds so simple, but it works almost all the time. You know, if you're feeling kind of down and out and don't want to start something, take a quick walk. You know, just motivate yourself. Yeah. We better use that word. Motivate yourself to shift your energy.
Yeah, I think if you do something a little creative or spontaneous, it can put you in a whole different frame of mind. Even if you think you don't have time to leave your desk. I'm going to ask Eric what he does in a second, but I think play is really important for me. And so I made a list of the things I like to do, which are, you know, walking on the beach, and I love the beach because it changes hourly. Horse riding, kayaking, sailing, snowmobiling. I love going on artist's date. I'll just go out by myself with a camera or to a photography exhibition or art gallery or museum or the theater. Reading a play or screenplay, I like to do that too. But for me, a lot of it, as you can tell, evolves from being outdoors in nature, and then I just suddenly regroup and all of a sudden I'm ready to get back to whatever I didn't want to tackle. Eric, do you have a particular ways that you get motivated?
You know, that's a tough question, because a lot of stuff that I have trouble being motivated with is at work. And so it's not so easy to just go out and take a stroll or that sort of thing. Sometimes
I hope your boss didn't hear that.
Well, I'm just saying, really, it isn't easy to just leave the premises. And,
yeah.
You know, you're lucky in being a kind of a freelancer in that you're able to do that sort of thing, which is, you know.
I'm blessed. I know that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would have a dream like that to make that sort of thing happen. I'm within the confines of, you know, a regular, not 9 to 5, but 10 to 6 kind of gig. And so sometimes I do kind of just have to allow myself the time to just drift off mentally, though. And so sometimes I'll do that, and I'll just step outside of the studio and just get a drink of water or have a cup of tea and just kind of repurpose myself and that sort of thing that you can do within 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, so it is hard for you because you're on live, obviously, the whole day. So there's not a lot of downtime for you. We used to call those mental vacations when I worked at the bank. We used to call them trips to Tahiti.
You know, that's good.
I've never been a smoker, and I've always felt envious of smokers.
Because they get more breaks.
They take those smoke breaks down there, and they just relax and give themselves cancer slowly. But those of us that don't want to die early, we don't get those kind of breather breaks. And I always think that they should, you know, encourage the staff that don't want to take up smoking, that if you want to go take a breather break, you should be able to do that, I think.
Yeah, and it is important just to be able to step away. The best boss I ever had, he was a tough cookie, but he also was very ingenious, and he would say, hey, your hair grows on company time, go get it cut on company time. Not too many people like that. But right. Joyce, I know you have an exercise that you wanted to share with us. Would you do that, please?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I'm also loving our visit today. It's so motivating to hear it, and sincerely, I mean that. Well, one of the things that I thought about, you know, talking about was why I became so interested in, you know, knowing that it was important for dreamers to know what motivates them. So, you know, I'd come into a workshop and I'd write on the top of a whiteboard a question and before everybody came. And one of the ones that was always so fun, which we're talking about today, is let's talk about what motivates you. And, you know, then I'd say, okay, I've got my pen, and the only rule is no editing. You know, tell the truth. And you can imagine a few that I won't say on air. We're fun, and we got a lot of laughter about, you know, telling the truth about what motivates us. But, you know, I think one of the very first ones that was always on the list, and I jotted down a few, and I'll just share a few with it. It's like making money. That was, and we, you know, everybody would laugh and say, oh, yes, definitely, that's what. And then it would go to, you know, being happy, praying, making someone else happy, feeling good, looking good, going to my AA meeting, being appreciated, doing my job well. This one always made us laugh, but getting an A on my report card, you know, how many of us do work for that, you know? And that's an outer motivator, but you also feel good from inside. You did the best you could do.
Right, right.
And, you know, so it would go on and on and on, and I remember one person saying, wait, there's one more. And I said, what is it? And they said, being alive. But you can tell because I laugh. It's like, oh, yeah, we forgot to put that in there.
Well, yeah, I think gratitude has a lot to do with things. I know I've woken up a couple of days. We have a family crisis, which I won't go into now, but we, you know, we've been experiencing that for the last 2 weeks, and it's been extremely painful and very difficult for us in the family. But I wake up every day and think, thank God, this, you know, this isn't happening. And I live in Japan. You know, we have to be grateful for what we do have, I think. We're almost at the end of our segment. Do you have a question that you have got to answer before we go today?
Oh, my gosh. Just one? Well, I think the thing that I would love to leave the listeners with is that find out for yourself what it is that motivates you. Find out what your dream is, and then start the work of getting, you know, the plan to create that lifestyle, that life that you want to be living. And, you know, make a list of everything and anything that motivates you, you know, and then take a couple of days to think about that and keep adding to that list. And put your dream statement at the top of that list and keep just living in that question. Like, what motivates me? What do I want to do today? If this was the last day of my on Earth, what would I, you know, how would I motivate myself to be exactly the last day that I want to have?
Right, right. And I think for me, it's, you know, give yourself permission to step away from whatever is keeping you buried right now, if you can, of course. I worked for many years in a corporation and couldn't do that. I'd have had my butt fired. But, I mean, if you can step away, then give yourself permission. Eric, anything you'd like to leave us with today?
Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet.
That's very true.
There's a lot of stuff that you don't want to do, but you know you have to do. And sometimes just go in, all right, you know what? I don't like this, but gonna do it. And then you find it's not quite as bad as you thought. You know, it's,
yeah.
You're not, you dread it sometimes more than you actually should.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave you all with a saying that my grandmother used to say, my aunt, my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my mother, and that is, well, this isn't going to buy the baby a new dress. And with that, they jump up and start doing whatever it was they had to do. I want to thank Joyce Chapman for being with us today. You can find out more about Joyce at joycechapman.com. She's got lots of books up there, gift certificates that you can give to other people. And I know that she would love to answer any of your questions. So please do contact her at joycechapman.com. You can find me at conversationslive.net at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. Thanks to Eric Ryder for joining in today and for keeping us live as usual. And we'll be back next week with an all-new show. Until then, live well, live strong.